Hello and welcome to the Summit Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can follow and stay connected by going to our website, www.thesummitchurch.ca.
I had the privilege to go to a lot of nations this year. And it's new ground, new territory. And I got to go with a large team from here in Edmonton and to have the awesome opportunity to go with Yahweh into a place and proclaim the good news, the gospel, Jesus. And you need to know that it does something in an atmosphere and in an area. If you're willing to just get past the barriers and the walls and just drop to your knees and proclaim the blood of Jesus over a land and over a territory and over an area, because you have to believe that you're ambassadors and you have to believe that you are a sent one. And so what is deep inside of your heart to release in that moment is the most anointed thing that you could. But it's oftentimes the thing that will stretch you the most. So just do it. Dadgummit, just do it. It's an honor to to be here this morning. I might get a little loud, so you might want to watch the burn on this mic. Thank you for receiving me. Thank you, Chris and Nikki, for who you are to the Townsends and to Ethan and Landon and Misty. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your yes. And the Townsends mean that in a deep way. We wouldn't necessarily be where we are exactly right now if it wasn't for the two of you, and for that I say thank you. And I mean that. I know it's probably said over and over and over again about Chris and Nikki and what they carry and what you have the opportunity to hear from, but also sometimes familiarity or all of that can begin to creep in. So just let it be fresh on you again, what you have. Let it be fresh on you. Get to know them and know who they are and know the things that they do. But don't ever, it's oftentimes like the presence of God. We get used to the presence of God in a certain way, and he's saying there's a whole nother facet of me that you're yet to see. And you know what? There's a whole nother facet of Chris and Nikki that the house is yet to see. And if you get too familiar, then you're going to get stuck in that place. And so honor them, honor your pastors, and honor the leaders that God has put around them, you know. So, amen. Amen. I'm going to do my best to get in. You hear that a little bit? I'm going to do my best to get into the Word of God this morning. Hey, guys in the back, look. It's the Brazilian missions team. If you went on that trip with me, would you stand up? Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Y'all have no idea. Y'all don't even know. Has anybody seen the video that, huh? Not yet. Is that forthcoming? Did I just spill the beans on something? No? No, we're working on it. Okay, well, I'll just let y'all see it. Shock and awe. It's good to see you guys. It really is. You still peeling out in all your vehicles, Jess? Still. I watched her burn rubber in a minivan for about 15 feet on a dirt road. It was quite awesome. Derek, man. Sorry, I'm live. I'm live and live at the same time. Derek, real quick, I promise I have something. Keep it up. You did something to me today during worship. It wasn't that I believed you. It was that I knew. Whatever that happened in that song earlier, that was real. And I love it. And it's needed and it's necessary. There's something. If revival is the beginning phases of the presence of God, that went beyond that. Because there's another element and there's another facet. Thank you. Stay there, please. Please stay there. Whoo. Y'all, I'm a crier. I don't care if you're okay with it or not. It's going to happen. Yeah. Y'all think I'm kidding. Yeah. I'll just look over there at Aaron and Chris every now and then, get them all. Aaron's a crier, I know. Chris. So this house is in a series right now in the Beatitudes. And I want to stay in that same flow. That way this thing can continue to progress and grow. I find it very important when you come into a house to honor the house that is in. And I got to speak with Nikki on the phone, and she asked if I would stay in line with that. And it's absolutely. It's not absolutely because I'm just trying to honor what the house is doing, but it's absolutely because we're family and we're on the same page. It's absolutely because y'all might not know me, but you do have a country bearded family member in Crestview. And you have an entire family in Crestview that your family has expanded and even enlarged. You have other Summit campuses all over the United States, but not just all over the United States. You also have a family in Benin, West Africa, where there is 160 orphans. And the last time that Misty and I were there, we planted a Summit church that was there. In the birthplace of voodoo, Summit has a church campus where the name of Jesus is being lifted up and glorified. And Jesus is so choosing to do it with young men that are the same ages as his disciples. Not one of them is over 21 years old, and the youngest of them that goes and preaches is 13. And they messaged me and they said, Papa, the next time you get here, we will have at least 3 more campuses that needs to hear your voice. In a voodoo village.
So good.
Amen. 3 Summit campuses in Brazil. Summit Sao Paulo, Summit Pinozinho, and Summit Mombasa. God is expanding the territories. You understand that you have more than a regional influence with Canada, more of a national influence in just Canada. The house carries an influence that is global, that is worldwide, that is international. Understand that. Right? Okay. Amen, amen, amen. Y'all, you start talking about missions in the nations and I get hung up there for a little while, but that's okay. That was the beginning of mine and Misty's journey. And I'm going to share a little bit of that today as a form of testimony of where we are in Scripture and where the house is in Scripture with the Beatitudes. How many of you have ever read Matthew chapter 5? Dude, phenomenal. That was at least half. 9 a.m. service. Y'all are the scholars. Wow. I feel like I'm at the Destin campus. God pulls a missionary off the field and sits him in a campus where 90% is all have doctorates and theological degrees. And I preach the simple gospel. It messed them up. First time I said lexicon, they're like, wow, he is educated. He does know what he's talking about. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, and I certainly hope that you do, you could turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. And I downloaded the podcast whenever Pastor Nikki spoke last Sunday and what she covered and stuff. There were a couple things that really stood out to me, Nikki, that you shared. And so I can't do a full review, but I can do a quick review of where I was when I was listening to it, having my moment in the airplane. And this lady beside me, I kept going, you know, so it was awkward for her, not for me. But one of the things that I loved that Nikki made sure that she expressed, Pastor Nikki made sure she expressed and brought out, was the Sermon on the Mount is the law of the kingdom, the constitution of heaven. Yeah. And that, man, just whenever you begin to think about that, what began to be talked about there is that this kingdom, this kingdom realm, and the Beatitudes is all about the kingdom, and that it is indeed a realm. And it's a realm that you can step into. You know, Hebrews chapter 4 talks a lot about the faith rest life. And in the faith rest life, it talks about this realm, this place that you can step into. Well, the definition of the word realm, by definition, is a land, is a place, is a country. It is something that literally you have the ability to step into. So when it talks about the kingdom in the way that in the light that we're talking about in the Beatitudes, it's very much a realm, a place that you are allowed to step into. And oftentimes we don't step into this place because we don't know what might happen if we do, but even though we know that the kingdom is good. There's almost a fear to step into that place. And I always tell people this. God has a contract that he wants you to sign. But he's not going to fill it out until you sign it. Will you sign it? Will you step into this kingdom? Because if what Pastor Nikki said, and it said a lot, the inside upside down kingdom. So everything that you think is going to happen whenever you get there is really going to be turned inside out and upside down. But can you say yes to that? Will you stand on your head for the Lord? I also love whenever we begin to speak about this. And one of the things that Nikki brought up, and I'm just going to bring it up real quick, just my perspective. You said, what if Jesus' name wasn't Jesus? What if it was Scott? Scott. And so... Now you'll understand a little bit more of me. So as I go into this, maybe you'll understand where some of my humor is. I'm like Jesus' name is great, and the only thing I can think of is Great Scott. And I'm like, that wouldn't have worked for me, man, at all. Could you imagine singing Scott? I'm not a singer, but I'm going to do it anyway. I don't even know what that would be. There's something that has a ring to Jesus that is highly intentional about it. Amen. Amen. So much to the fact that being in the name of Jesus or praying in the name of Jesus has a much greater meaning than praying in the name of Jesus. If I am in him and he is in me, when I truly pray in the name of Jesus, I'm praying that there's a power in that. But it's an understanding that I must abide in him. Come on. Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If I truly learn how to abide under the shadow of the Almighty, I'm also learning and knowing how to pray inside of the name of Jesus. Because the shadow of the Almighty is the only appropriate filter that I'm allowed to see the rest of creation. Think about that. Like if there's any other light that's shining on it, it's improper and incorrect. But if I'm abiding in the shadow of the Almighty, that's a true filter. I can see things for how they're really meant to be. So I can begin to see my life and my situations, how they're really, truly meant to be. I can find myself going through a situation. We can find ourselves going through things. Death in the family. Lost of a loved one. separation from friends, the loss of a job, the loss of a business. And if I take those things as loss, 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 and I stay in this place outside of the shadow of the Almighty, the filter that I then try to appropriately organize those thoughts and organize my actions, I'll actually be doing it outside of the way that the kingdom wants me to. And that's exactly where we are right here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. In that, the scripture tells us that blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I was talking to Misty about this, my wife, Pastor Misty. I don't understand the level of mourning that my wife has gone through. I don't understand the level of mourning that she went through. She lost her mother just before she moved away to college to cancer. And she just lost her father to cancer. And yet, she lays hands on people that have cancer and they have recovered. I don't mean one or two. I mean just got a text while in Illinois of another testimony that cancer was not found in their body. A woman found a lump and Misty went and laid her hands on her. And when they got there, it was not found. Right whenever you think that you're done with this mourning process, right whenever you believe that you're done with this mourning process, Yahweh will send someone into your situation with the very exact thing that you have been mourning over, and you will pray for them and you'll see freedom or healing come, and then you get thrust back into this place of mourning. Well, why didn't you do this for my mother? Why didn't you do this for my father? So let me tell you one of the first things that my wife said when she shared after this. She just got up and she got right in the whole congregation's face and she said, I can't explain it, but he's good, y'all. He's good. He's good and his mercies endureth forever. He's good. I don't know why he took my dad. I don't know why he took my mother. But he's good, and I trust him, and I believe in him, and I'm going to stay in this place until he completes the work in me. Which really begins to cause Matthew 5, 4 to come to real life. We'll get there in just a second. Are y'all with me? Is everybody good? You're not going to know if you should smile, if you should laugh, if you should cry, or have a straight face, and it's perfectly okay. We call that crafting. Let it happen. Let me break this down real quick for us. The word blessed here is made holy, consecrated, those who live with God in heaven. Now, if we understand that we are called ones to be directly involved in the redemption of all things. Are y'all tracking with me? Romans, are you tracking with me there, guys? All of creation is standing at tiptoe in the anticipation, groaning, travailing for the sons and daughters of Yahweh to be manifest. So all of creation is stuck in a place of groaning and travailing. The tree that you see right now does not look like that tree will when it moves from a place of groaning and travailing and into a place of celebration. When you as sons and daughters of Yahweh begin to manifest. So, yeah, there's this. Mine has right there, but I'm short, and so they made a table suitable for me. Chris is tall. Yeah. It might suit me better. I don't know. Mourn here. Feel or show deep sorrow or regret for someone or their death. You know, a lot of times when we hear the word mourn, we think of the loss of a loved one or the death of a loved one. But there's multiple places and multiple ways to mourn. And we can't avoid these things as they come. We can't write off the thought, the intent, the emotion of mourning as strictly for something that is crucial and detrimental. Listen, I mourned at the fact that Yahweh chose not to send me to a mud hut in a third world country. I mourned that. Think about that just for a moment. Because, you see, it was something that I had my hands around. It was something that I had allowed myself to be on the potter's wheel and let him create in me what he wanted to see and go and do. And then right whenever the fire began to refine me on that potter's wheel, he added oil and water again and he said, nope. What are you mourning, or what have you not mourned that really and truly you should be in a place of that? We should not be afraid to mourn or be in a place of mourning, because the promises that come to those who mourn. Whoo! Like, I sometimes wonder if we find ourselves in a situation that's bad, that causes us to mourn, or and we oftentimes want to microwave it and say, okay, I'm done, I'm good, I get out of it, but then you never find peace, you never find rest, you never find the freedom in what went on to be able to move on in freedom. And I say that because 8 months later, a situation came up that was almost exactly the same, and it caused something to rise up inside of you that was other than freedom and peace. And it caused you to remember that circumstance and that situation. Because the scripture goes on to tell us that he will comfort those who mourn. And so we have to be very intentional with that mourning process. We have to be very intentional not to move past it too quickly. Here's what has to be understood with the mourning process. If scripture clearly says, and which it does, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. It tells me this. When Ethan and Landon, my two sons, go through something and they're grieving something or they're mourning something in their age, I want to hold them until it's right. Yahweh wants to hold you until it's right. But I find my son sometimes at 14 and 15 years old really wanting to wiggle out of my arms and say, I'm good, Daddy, I'm okay. But you notice the walk off. You notice that how they walk off, they're really not. They're thankful for what I did, but the walk off is a little bit different. The walk off's not free. You see, when a child is set free of something, when they've been in trouble for something, when Judah does something and Pastor Chris goes and brings correction, and then tells him, okay, it's okay, I love you. Yeah. Judah skips like a lamb. Because it was brought up last Sunday. That's the reason why I said that. Rather than more of a just walk away. How many situations have we been in where we say that we've been through this process, but our walk is still a little bit like this? God wants to hold you long enough that when he lets go, you're like a calf loosed from a stall. Okay, comforted. Ease the grief or distress of. Console. Here it is. Improve the mood of or restore a sense of well-being to. When God restores, he fully restores. This is why we've not seen Jesus yet, because Jesus is held in a heavenly place until the restoration of all things. And you play a vital role in the restoration of all things. You are the role of restoration of all things. Okay. Psalms 30, 11 through 12 says this. You have turned my mourning into dancing for me. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my soul may sing praise to you and not be silent. Oh Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. This is someone who has gone through something. God has come in and made a complete and total restoration of that place that they were formerly in, to the degree that I will praise your name forever. Not praise your name until I think I've done it enough, but praise your name and I will do it forever. Do you understand restoration, or can we fully understand being comforted to the place that it lasts forever? Jesus has the ability, while being in heaven, to fully restore you forever. This is scriptural as well. I think about that. We think, oh, well, whenever we go to heaven and we get our glorified bodies, that those... No. If scripture endures forever and my word is always true, even when you're in that heavenly place, Jesus has the ability to still fully restore you forever. Y'all with me? Who did I lose? In other words, in being comforted by the great comforter, it is a finished work that is completely done. But it requires something on our end. The microwave was one of the greatest things that could have been invented to slice bread. However, it also caused us to want things quicker and sooner. Whatever happened to the slow-cooked log cast iron meals that allowed a little bit of time to take place so that the proper flavors could actually come out? Because if he's to grow fruit in you that is good and tasting to the rest of those that are around you, why do we think it's boop, 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 beep? You have to allow yourself in the process of mourning to abide and be willing to take the time to be there. Because when you're free, you'll know, and you'll be able to get up and you will leap and you will dance. And you know what? I know Pastor Chris says this. Whenever you don't even feel like it, you get up and make your flesh worship the Lord. You get up and you worship through the situation. You get up and you do it and you perpetually do it and keep on doing it, because breakthrough will come. So here, my head really begins to go in multiple directions here with this word mourn, and it synonymously being attached to the word waiting. You see, the definition in the lexicon with the Hebrews, the word mourn and the word wait are almost identical by definition. So in the ESV, it says mourn. In the Passion Translation, it says wait. It says, what delight, this is the Passion Translation, Matthew 5:4. What delight comes to you when you wait upon the Lord, for you will find what you look for. Listen to it in ESV. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Ethan and Landon, my two boys, have gone through something. Something that they regret. Something that they would mourn over. It might be something as stupid as the loss of a soccer ball. And we play a lot of soccer. Right? You get where I'm going. I'm not trying to paint a big picture of something that they've gone through. You realize that there is a moment that when they're there in front of me and we're talking about this situation, that looking into Daddy's eyes and seeing love and kindness and mercy and grace and a smile turns all of those bad things completely around and eradicates the thought of whatever they were in. That's why I really, I love the way that the Passion Translation says it here. For you will find what you're looking for. I'm looking in my situation and in my place of mourning, I'm looking for the face of Jesus. I'm looking for him to step into my life as the great comforter and help me abide in him in this situation. What delight comes to you when you wait upon the Lord? The word delight here is please someone greatly. The word wait here is stay where one is or delay action until a particular time or until something else happens. You can't say that you're waiting, but you keep getting up and moving.
Yeah.
You can't say that you're waiting. Okay, I'm gonna say something here. You can't get offended in church by someone in the church and ever expect to be healed from it if you don't wait and abide and let him heal you. Otherwise, the way that you left one place will be the way that you enter the next. It's just the truth of it. Why? Because this is why such a high standard is held on the worship team for in Summit Sounds. What someone is going through and having to deal with will be projected in a time of ministry or in a place of ministry. This includes, look, when I say ministry, I don't know if y'all fully grasp what I say is ministry. I don't care if you're turning wrenches, if you're cleaning teeth, if you're mowing your grass, if you're folding your laundry, if you're washing dishes, or you're an executive chef. That's great. Do those things. But go, and when you go, preach. Preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and then heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. So do all of these things. Do the thing that puts the bread on the table, yet go. So this does not exclude the one that is out there grocery shopping and the person that's behind you that's ringing you out. They are eligible for the kingdom of heaven, and the kingdom of heaven is in you because you are a host of the kingdom of heaven. Wait. Stay where one is. How quickly do we get messed up, offended, come into a place of mourning, and nobody else understands the situation we're in, so we're going to go find some people that are. Stay where one is or delay action. Why would we delay action? Because any action after the fact of this place that we are in will not be operating from a pure heart. Right? Right? Got a lot of weird smirks out there. I'm used to being in a seat. These lights are... I love looking at people and being relational with people. That's why we have to be intentional with letting a completed work happen in us so that we can truly be the light that they need. Because how do you know if I say he is in me and I am in him and you're going through a situation, the he in me could speak to you that helps pull you out of the place that you're in. You get what I'm saying? Okay. Different types of mourning. I want to make sure that we don't exclude any, but this is certainly not an all-inclusive list. These are things that came to mind. Death, mistakes, loss of friends, loss of family, loss of job. And whenever I say loss of friends or family, I mean those that are still alive. Business, ministry, children move off to college. To think that a mother that has a household with kids that eventually grows up and they leave the nest, that mother's not mourning would be inaccurate. How many moms can testify to that? As the hands go up. You know, it's okay for you to mourn that. It's okay for you to feel that moment, and it's okay for you to abide in him and wait until the comforter comes. And it's usually going to come by the good report of your child. It's usually going to come by the good report that you're going to receive from them. You have to believe that the deposits that you have put into their life is never going to leave them. Amen? Okay. The comforter will come. Yahweh will use those around us to comfort us as well. Be okay with that. I'm not talking about one of Job's friends. I'm not talking about that. Some of the greatest thing that you could do for someone that's stuck in a place of mourning is a hug, is a smile, is a I love you, is a Jesus loves you, is a you can do it. I want to tell the story of the eagle right now, but it would take me too long, and then I would end up running around the sanctuary, jumping on chairs, trying to throw them, all that type of stuff. Do y'all know the story of the bald eagle? The molten stage that the bald eagle goes through. I'm going to do this very rapid pace. I hope that y'all are able to keep up with me. Basically, the bald eagle goes through this process. It's called the molten stage. It loses its feathers, loses its beak, its eyes. Everything gets bad. Once it finally comes out of this place of adolescence or out of this place that it's in, there are other eagles that have gone through this molten stage. This is the only time that they let out this particular sound, this particular cry. And for the eagle that is going through this molten stage, when it hears that cry, it's like this. It's a cheering on. It's a, you can do it. It's a, I've been there. You can make it. It will happen. Believe. I know it's hard for you to eat right now. I know it's hard for you to digest what Pastor Chris is preaching right now. I just can't quite receive this bread of life that he's throwing at me right now because I only have my bottom beak. But let others that are around you, you begin to lift up a sound that begins to cause them to say, if I have to scoop it up with my bottom beak, I'm going to get there. I'm going to get through this difficult time when I don't even have talons to catch my own fish. And sometimes the other bald eagles that have been through it will catch the fish and leave it for them. So once they've made it through the process, their feathers are different. Their very bone marrow is different. The very blood that flows through them has been DNA changed in order for it to be able to soar at higher heights. It gets a lens that allows them to go higher and fly faster. It allows them to do things that they could not certainly do before. And you got to see people around you that might be in this place and you become their greatest cheerleader because you've been through something in your life and your testimony. I'm gonna praise him in all things forever. And I'm gonna make sure that you don't forget. I'm gonna make sure that you make it out of this. Could be somebody that you really don't like. Could be that one person. Man. But let your light shine, guys. Let your light shine. Are you willing to receive comfort when comfort comes from others? One of the most difficult things in ministry is when someone comes to you and says, God told me. If someone comes to me in a place of ministry and says, God told me, I'm like, okay, I don't, no advice, nothing else. God told you. I believe that sometimes when we say this, we have closed ourselves off to possibly finding another facet in a level of understanding that person's walked through that they genuinely need to speak and should speak and we should be ready to receive. You know what I mean? And if it's absolutely terrible advice that they give, let it wash off of you like a duck's back and move on. But you never know if you keep yourself closed off to it. I know far too many people that are going through very difficult times and they do not share it with anyone at all because they don't want the 1,000 texts, the 1,000 phone calls. They don't want the prayer tree growing on. This is a private matter that I'm going through. Oh, man, it's almost like you denied the body of Christ to do its part as the ecclesia, right? We need each other. You need each other. This is more than you coming to church on Sunday and attending a good church service with good worship music and good word spoken. This is your family. We should be able to rub elbows together without our hearts being on our sleeve. That's family. Look, my brother did some ridiculous things back in the day, but I love him unconditionally. You know, his testimony has greatly changed since those days, but had I not loved him unconditionally in his mess, would I be able to have the voice in his life that I now have? Well, where were you when I was hurting? Where were you when, oh man, it just, goat. You almost feel separated like one of the goat. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Separation of the goat nation, sheep nation. What delight comes to you when you wait upon the Lord, for you will find what you look for. Delight. He wants to delight. Please someone greatly. Wait. Stay where one is or delay action until a particular time or until something else has happened. I didn't bring my Passion Translation with this. But there's a scripture that really stood out to me. It's kind of weird that I just shared the eagle story there, because understanding being a Psalms 1 man, a Psalms 1 woman, and understanding Psalms 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Dwelling means you stay there. You wait. Dwelling means you, and then it even goes with the word abide. Let's not be so quick in mourning or waiting to get up and leave the situation before Father God has had the opportunity to complete the work. That's right. Wow. It's vital and it's important. Because Scripture says not only that He will comfort you, but then also in the Passion Translation, remember what it says there is that not only shall you be comforted, for you will find what you are looking for. See, I'm mourning something regardless of what it may be because I don't have what I really need. And if I will just wait long enough, I will find what I'm looking for. You know, there's very few things in Scripture. We always read things. We say, how do I receive the anointing or the power to heal? How do I get the anointing to prophesy? Y'all know what I'm talking about. And you go through Scripture and you want to try to find a formula, and there's just not a stinking formula. It's called a process. But there are some things in Scripture that do give you direct answers. There are some things in Scripture that says, if this, then this. It's like, how do we get faith? Faith is one of these things in Scripture that it clearly... How do you get faith? Faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing what? So if faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God, and you say, Father God, give me more faith, He says, I did. I gave you the Word of God. You want to build your faith because you pray for somebody and they get healed and you think that's the answer to building your faith. No, that might, Jesus, that might have built your ego. Not your faith. So while subliminally in the back of your mind, you're saying, wow, that built my faith. Really what it did was the next time that you find yourself in a ministry situation and that person doesn't get healed, now your ego just took a hit. You want to build your faith, read the Word of God. Well, if faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God, how can I constantly hear the Word of God? Do what Pastor Nikki does. Download the Audible Bible on there, and when you go to sleep, let it play. If I can't do that, then what do I do? Well, we just so happen to serve an audible God, so read your Bible out loud to yourself. Because it comes by hearing. It doesn't come by me reading it to myself silently. It comes by hearing. Build your faith. Build your faith. Who wants faith? Here, let me ask this question. Who wants more faith? Okay. Here it is. Here's the answer. It's in multiple different translations. One of those translations is going to speak to you, just like your best friend who sent you that text. The Passion Translation just so happens to speak to me. So when I read it, it causes me to be revitalized. It causes me to come alive. Find that translation that does that for you. Right? Find the translation of the Word of God that causes you to want to devour it and eat it, that faith may be and faith may rise up inside of you to a place that you are at explode. Because I promise you that as you explode, He will refill you instantly again. This thing of hills and valleys, of full and empty, okay, we used to be in a place of full and empty, full and empty. He says, my cup runneth over. I will come when He completely restores you, He doesn't fill you full so that you can get empty again, so that He can show up and say how great He is that He filled you back up again. That can be done. But what about Yahweh? What about God that can fill you to a place of constant overflowing forever and ever and ever? Yeah. Amen. That is how He can fully restore you from a place of mourning and say that I am the comforter and you will find what you're looking for. One of my friends, Ben Smith, sings a song, from the mountain to the valley. I don't think of being at the mountain being close to God and being at the valley being away from God, high and low. He's with me on the mountain. He's with me on the valley. He's with me everywhere that I go. It's the perspective changed. It's the ability to stay and abide with Him. It's the ability to do this until everything is made new. I hope you grab what's happening and what I'm saying right now. It's our ability to abide and wait on Him, and He will renew your strength. The Comforter is guaranteed to come. Two things God can't do. He cannot break covenant and He cannot lie. And His word endures forever. And He says, for those that will wait upon me, they will find what they're looking for. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How's everybody doing? Isaiah 40:31 should be familiar to you. Perhaps now it's familiar to you in a different way. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They will walk and not be faint. Guys, as you go through, we tagline oftentimes a series, and we say we're doing a series because it helps people gain understanding of where the church is going and that we're going to be bringing a series. But I'm here to tell you that as the teaching and the training and the equipping come with the Beatitudes, it's a process. Engage in the process. I don't care if you've read the Beatitudes 5,000 times and could quote it to me right now. Engage in the process of getting the Beatitudes inside of you. Engage in the process of stepping into this kingdom realm. Engage in the process of soaring, of abiding, of waiting, of being still, allowing Him to do what only He can do. Because in the process, you don't know when it's finished. How many times have you had someone come to you that was in a process and you knew they weren't out of it because you heard words that were spoken out of their mouth, which was actually words that came from their heart, and you knew they weren't out of the process, and they said, I've completed that process, I'm out of it. And you should have said, no, you're not. Not to be confrontational, not to be rude, but and not to sound haughty or arrogant or even prophetic or like you're a super discerner. Oh, shoot. Apostle Jane Hammond's words just rang in my head. For every one that you have discerned, 10 have discerned you.
That's heavy. Engage in this process as you move forward, as this house, this body, this ecclesia moves forward in the Beatitudes. Don't discount it as just another series that you're going through. This is the first message that Jesus preached. The first, man, how many firsts can you think of? Think about beginning 2020 with Jesus' first message in your heart. Behold and see now what you're going to gaze upon in 2020. See it now so that you can hold it for 2020. You're in this right now, and I know that other things are going to happen before the new year and before all that, but mighty God, grab hold of what Yahweh has placed on the leadership and the senior pastors here, Pastors Chris and Pastor Nikki, with being in this, and engage in the process. Don't discount it. Don't exclude it. I believe that longevity is coming to the body of Christ, and not just longevity in the ability to stay in worship, but the ability to not get bored right now when there's 6 minutes left in the service and you're already starting to nod off. But longevity in the body of Christ, to be able to remain in Him, abide in Him, and He abide in you, in the waiting process, that you will actually get the reward that awaits you, which is you will find the one that you seek. Look, you are far too precious for God to put you in a microwave. You are far too, you can't look at somebody else's situation either. Don't you dare look at, oh Lord, have mercy, here it comes. Don't you dare look at somebody else's situation. Look, there's a lot of people that looked at mine and Misty's situation and was like, who are y'all? Y'all popped out of this place of obscurity. Nobody really knew who y'all were. And then all of a sudden you're made the senior pastor of the Desk Camp, senior pastors of the Crestview campus, and then you're seated in as the missions director over all the campuses. They began to compare themselves to that. By root definition, breaking it down to its lowest term that I possibly could, that's a Levitical priest. Because the definition of Levitical priest is to compare thyself one to another. We are not called out of that order. We are called out of the order of Melchizedek, where there is no beginning of days nor end of days. You can't compare what you are actually born into and blood bought into. You can't compare it. So stop comparing each other, because when we start comparing each other, then we really don't see that our brother or sister that's next to us is in a deep place of mourning, and you hold the very answer. Otherwise, you just brush right on by it. Wow, wow, wow. I'm going to tell one fast story. I promise it'll take me just a second. But I want you to understand how precious you are. And that waiting and remaining and abiding in a place of mourning until the perfecter and the author and finisher of all things says you're done. And this is how you'll know. I had another Summit pastor of Cross City, Doug Cobb, come into our house. And he was sharing a lot of stuff. Y'all know who I'm talking about? He's been here before. He hasn't been up here yet. He's on his way. Just look at him real quick. You know how silver is refined? Silver is refined when the refiner takes the silver and sticks it into the fire. And he purposely holds it on exactly the right color flame because it's exactly the right temperature. And he holds it there and cannot take his eyes off of it. And he holds it exactly in the right place, exactly as long as it needs to be held there, so that all of the impurities can be completely burned off. Well, Mr. Refiner, how do you know when all the impurities have actually been burned off? That's the easiest question you could have asked me. You see, I know that the process is done when I can see my perfect reflection in it. Can you see God's perfect reflection in it, and he in you and you in him, end up coming out of a place of mourning. If you can't, stay, because you're far too precious for him to take his eyes off of you in the process. And you could gain some things about Father God and how he feels about you and how he loves you by just abiding and waiting upon the Lord. In my weakness, his strength is perfected. He'll renew a right mind. He'll renew a right heart. I hope you were blessed by this morning. For those that are mourning, wait upon the Lord. He will renew your strength, and you will mount up like wings as eagles, and you will be soaring over all of these circumstances and over all of these things. And you'll see someone else that's in a place of mourning, and you'll be able to lift up a hallelujah forever that will pull them out and pull them up. Amen. Well, until I see you next time, I pray that the Lord would bless you. And I pray that he would keep you. And I pray that his light and his countenance would shine upon you. And I pray that his word would be a lamp unto your path.
Whew. So good, so good, so good. If we can real quick have our prayer team just come be ready for me this morning. What a message. You know, one of the things that kept going over and over in my mind as Pastor Jason was speaking is that in the kingdom, you cannot receive the inheritance of the kingdom absent of the waiting process. All through scripture, Jesus tells his disciples as he's leaving, Acts chapter 1, wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. You got to understand, these men would have been in complete disarray, thinking they lost everything that they knew. Jesus in the flesh leaves and he tells them, I want you to wait. Wait until. We have a problem with waiting until, don't we? We need to know when. Wait until when? Tuesday at 9 o'clock or Thursday at 8:30? He never gave the time. He just said, wait until. What would our life look like if we had the capacity to wait until? I'm telling you, you can't skip this process if you're going to be a man or woman of the kingdom. We oftentimes miss out on some of God's greatest blessings, his greatest outpourings, his greatest encounters that he has for us, greatest opportunities, because in the waiting process, oftentimes we get too antsy, we get frustrated, because as Pastor Jason says, we are trained in culture with a microwave mentality that we need it our way and we need it right now. But can I tell you, if you're here this morning and you haven't received what you're waiting for, if you're going through a process and you're mourning and you're waiting to be comforted, if you're waiting for your breakthrough, whatever that looks like, I'm telling you, just hang on. Just hang on. Hang on. He's not through. Hang on just a little bit longer. The promise is he will show up. He's going to come through. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to leave you out. He is a faithful friend and a good, good father. He's going to fix it. Amen. Come on, why don't you stand to your feet with us this morning? Can we give Pastor Jason just a big thank you for that amazing word? Awesome, awesome, awesome.